Thank you so much that we can talk about these things, and thank you so much that there's just such good thinking here and so many good perspectives and ways to just use your word to apply to our situation. I'm just so thankful that we have a body, number one, that's loving, a body that is growing and maturing and hungry and wants to do the right thing. And Lord, we need your wisdom, we need your help, we need your power, we need your strength. You say that if we don't understand something in pertaining to our suffering or trials or persecution, that we can pray to you with wisdom, or that you'll give us wisdom when we pray and understanding as to the specifics of our situation. And we thank you for that. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. I consider them family, and I know that I can count on them, and that just means so much to me, and I know they'll always be there for me, and that means so much to me, and I hope they feel that way about the rest of the body here. I pray that you would continue to use our church fellowship, and that we would be positioned for such a time as this, Lord. As we see these things going on, let us be aware of your will and what you want us to do. And let no flesh glory in your presence here, Lord. Let no man, no human get in the way of what you're doing. Nobody's agenda here but yours, Lord, and we invite that, Lord. We don't want our thing. We want your thing, not our will, but your will be done, God. You say if we go and make disciples, you'll be with us, and we need that, Lord. So go be with us and give us a new vision, a new passion, a new excitement, a new fervor for you, and let that just be seen in how we love one another, how we love those in the world, our neighbors, our friends, family, and how we love to witness and testify to you, and how we like to get together and pray through these things, Lord Jesus. Let us be a praying church, a worshipful church, a biblical church, a hungry church, a church that is a good representation of you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 33. And of course, like always happens, it's just so appropriate to come into the scriptures that seem to fit the situation, that are appropriate for our situation. I just love how that happens. It seems like whatever we're going through just happens to be what we're going through in the Word. And boy, what a good compass to have to know that we're on track and God has blessed us with His Word. So let's look at chapter 33. And here we see again this exhortation. I love this in the Psalms. And this, you know, it's hard to deny that this is an emotional book. So this may excite some of you. This is a book we see a pretty wide range of emotions. It's a feely book, if you like feely things. And the expression of emotions here is very free. And there doesn't seem to be any embarrassment or any concerns about what people might think. And so here again, we have this, it's really a command, an exhortation, an encouragement, but really it's a command. This is something that we are to do. Rejoice in the Lord. Something we're supposed to do. We see that in Philippians chapter 4, too, right? Rejoice in the Lord. Again, this is an act of our will that regardless of how we feel, this is what we do. And no matter what we're going through, we can always rejoice in Him, right? Always rejoice in Him. And rejoicing in Him is often the medicine or the cure or the help or the encouragement for very difficult times. So he says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. And you may be saying, well, I guess I'm disqualified from that, so I can't rejoice in the Lord, but we know that in Christ we are righteous, right? He says, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Isn't that cool? Praise from the upright is beautiful. So there's so much emphasis on beauty, right, in our culture. And God sees this characteristic of one who praises God as just such a beautiful thing. Imagine that. God can look down from heaven at you and I and think that we're beautiful because we're praising him. What does that say then for our complaining or whining or things that are not of praise or things that are not giving God his glory and his due worth? We see all through the scriptures that's not something that God looks at too highly. But we can always praise the Lord. And that's another great thing. How great is our praise to God when we're in times of adversity? So, you know, sometimes you say, I don't know what to do and I don't know what God's will is. Just do this. Just rejoice in him and praise him. And then he goes on to say, in verse 2, he says, praise the Lord with harp, make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. That would be kind of a good motto for a worship group, right? A worship leader. It's just seeing how wonderful God is and using musical talents and abilities and skill to tell him that. Isn't that pretty much what worship is? The musical type of worship, wouldn't you say? I just love that. And so he says in verse 4, he says, watch this. For the word of the Lord is right. Do you guys believe that? We need that word today, don't we? So sometimes it's just so hard to tell what's right. And you know, we live in a time where the Bible says they call good evil, evil good. And a lot of things that we believe people in our society say we're bad, we're hateful, we're mean. And so here we have God's word. And sometimes things get so muddled and we can go to God's word and everything becomes so clear. And it reinforces our behavior. It confirms what we're doing right. It corrects what we're doing wrong. And so the word of God is right. And notice this, it says, and all the work is done in truth. So here's how God is working. He works on a track of truth, really. That means he's not working outside of that. So if we're going to get caught up in God's work, we too are going to work on this track of truth. That's what God's into. And so that's why it's so important. And the Bible says that he requires truth in our inward parts. That God just wants us to be truthful, transparent, open, and he wants us to work through things. And we don't know everything, do we? And so sometimes it's hard to know how to do things. And so we pray about those things, and we have a heart that says, you know, Lord, I want to do right by you. I don't understand. Give me wisdom. Give me help. Make these things clear. And again, in James 1, it says that if we will ask with faith, that he will do that. He will make these things clear. But don't make the mistake, as some people often do, that they can make up their own thing that's unbiblical and just think that God's in that. He's not. God works in truth, and he doesn't work outside of truth. Let God be true and every man, what? A liar. So he says, no, notice this. And no, this is what the psalmist is praising God for. He's praising him for his truth. Second thing, or this is part of the first thing, he says he loves righteousness. He loves justice. He says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And sometimes you have to look for that, don't you? And the earth is marred. But at the same time, we can see the fingerprints of God, the greatness of God, the sovereignty of God. And I think that's really important. The Bible says that we're to set our minds on the things above, not on things of earth. And the book of Romans chapter 1 tells us that we can know God through his creation. And so we look at these things, and I encourage you to get really good at that. Like, really look at things. Really look. My favorite thing probably right now is the clouds. I keep getting drawn to the clouds. And it just, there's something about the clouds. It just really amazes me. I have the same feeling with the ocean. The mountains are like that. But I can't really get into that too much here. So I look at the clouds. And don't stop when you see the clouds. But when you see the clouds, let them take you home to the creator of the clouds and all the dynamics. Encourage you to be really good and train yourself to be looking at creation and get really good at... Did anybody see the blue moon or the blood moon? Sorry. It was blue when I was looking at it because it was like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and I was sitting at Zach's game, which he wasn't playing in, and directly straight across from me was the moon. It was bluish, and it was just, I was, you know, sitting up in the bleachers, and it was right at eye level, and just full moon. I was like, wow, that's awesome. That's so awesome. I don't need to get up early and see the eclipse, because I know everybody's going to post pictures of it. And then, did anybody get up for that? Was it cool? Was it cool?
It was red.
Yeah, it was red. Yeah, that's why they call it blood moon, I guess. So guys, so much better to enjoy God through creation and to just get out in it and to pray and to worship God. Do we have any walkers here? Anybody like to walk? A few people. Does anybody like to ride motorcycles? Oh, yeah. Does anybody like to ride horses? Oh, yeah. Yeah, over there. But, you know, just encourage you guys to get out there. You know, this is a good time, too, right? Fall. Living in Texas, our window's like that big for enjoying nature. So you got to do it when you get the opportunity. But here he kind of goes into that. He's saying the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Is anybody into astronomy or any of that kind of stuff? You guys are? Corbett? I kind of figured Corbett would be into that. He looked like an astronomy guy. Anybody else? Yeah. I never really got into it too much. I mean, I like to look up and see the stars and all that and the moon, but there's just something really cool about that, isn't there? Like when you start to understand everything and how it's all working together. The earth is just full of his goodness. He says in verse 6, this is the second thing he's praising God for. He says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. I love that. So he's really thinking about, and this is something I'd like to also challenge you guys about, what you think about. Using your mind as like an instrument of praise and taking it in to deep thoughts of God. And you just get a picture that he's out in creation. He's just so happy. He's probably not distracted, you know, by a lot of things we get distracted about. And he's just so happy, and he's looking around, and he's like, wow, there's just so much goodness of the Lord. And he says, and he's thinking, the word of the Lord made the heavens. You think about that. So creation is causing him to think about God, and he's thinking, God just spoke this into existence. What does that do for us? You think about it. It's like everything we talked about earlier, and then you look up, and you're looking at this great creation, and then you're like, God just spoke it. Let there be light. Boom, there's light. It's not like he had to go to a drawing board and manufacture something and go to research and development and try to, he just said it and it was. And I believe the psalmist is then just taken over by these great thoughts of God is making him so happy and it's warming his heart and he's realizing how great God is, how in control he is, how big he is, how powerful he is, and he's seen himself in light of that. He says, in all the hosts of them, so all the like angelic beings, by the breath of his mouth, he says in verse 7, he gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. I think that may be one of the singular most important statements in the Bible. Not saying it is the, but one of the, that we are to see God correctly and stand correctly in the presence of the Lord. It's funny how you just look through the Bible and you see people that come across the Lord in a certain different ways, and it's just this fear and trembling and shock and awe. And it's like this God is so breathtaking and fearful and frightful. And what if the world would stand in awe? One day they will, right? Doesn't the Bible tell us every knee will bow and every tongue confess? Philippians chapter 2, right? This awe-inspiring God. Now, just if you take a moment as you read this, as I read this, as we think about this, is this how we feel about God? Has there been an awe moment? Are there a lot of awe moments? Are they rare? And again, I believe this comes back to, one, the time we spend with the Lord, and two, thinking correctly about the Lord. So when we have the right thoughts about the Lord, you can just be praying, just sitting there reading your Bible, and something hits you about God. And all of a sudden, you just feel almost as like blown away by that. And a sense of awe, almost a breathtaking sense. And if I'm honest, I don't feel that all the time, but I do feel that. And to get a glimpse of God, imagine what that's going to be like, guys, when you're standing before God in heaven. Think about that for a second. Think deeply about that. That is actually going to happen if you're a Christian. You are going to stand in the presence of God. That is just mind-blowing to me. And yes, I look forward to that day. But the thing is, as I sit here, I know that's going to happen, that one day I will be in the very presence of God. And Paul the Apostle, he got to see a little bit of that, didn't he? He got a vision of heaven. And eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. I want to encourage you in these times that we live in, think about that a lot. Think deep about it. Think hard. I don't think we think hard enough about God. I know I don't. This is something that, as I'm reading through this, I'm being greatly challenged, is I don't think deeply enough, hard enough about God. And when I do, I think there's a chemical reaction that happens when I get that, where if they were to do a brain scan, they would see like the pleasure zone excited and hot. And they would see, you know, all these great chemicals flowing. I know that's got to happen. Because, you know, the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So all of these experiences, like going on the Titan at Six Flags, those are all just counterfeits of the greatness of God that he has for us, that he wants us to experience. But I do think the Bible says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I think that sometimes we dive in like the 2 feet of water, and it's like, oh, you know, this isn't that great, really. It's really sandy and can't swim very well. And it's, no, you got to go out further. You got to go deeper into that. You should go further down and begin to experience more of the depth of God and the bigness of God. And don't you think, when I read some of the older guys, I'm like, what happened to these guys? How come these guys aren't? There aren't many of these guys around. You know, guys that write hymns, songs, guys that write sermons. And, you know, you read all those and it's like, wow, those guys, they thought hard about God. And I'd really like to encourage us to recapture that and think really hard about God, uninterrupted, deeply drink of that well of the goodness and the depth of God. And I want to just say that he has so much more for us. Don't settle for where we're at now. Just keep going deeper. You get that feeling from this guy, the psalmist here. We're not sure if David wrote this or not. He probably did. But so he says, God, by his word, he made the heavens, all the hosts he breathed out of his mouth. Verse 7, he gathers the water. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I love that. And then it says in verse 10, this is the third thing that he's praising God for. He said, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. That's kind of interesting, right? He makes the plans of the people of no effect. He says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. So as he's talking about what God says is, then he applies that to nations. So taking in the fact of God's truth, and he works according to his truth, and then taking into account the greatness of his creation and his power as he spoke it into existence, then it only makes sense that a nation would see themselves as a nation and subject to God. We know that's not always the case, and we know that when nations deny God, there are ramifications for that. Verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Isn't that so the truth? The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven and he sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. And it says he fashions their hearts individually. That blows me away. So we just talked about this huge God we're in awe of. And then we have seen where it says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But look how special we are to God. In creation, you know, he spoke it into existence. And then it seems like he put us together with such individual care, an individual handcrafted work. Do you see how the word of that, he fashions their heart individually, their hearts individually. So we're not assembly lines. We're not robots. We're so special to God. Every single person is so special because God made their hearts individually. And it says he considers all their works. No king, he says, is saved by a multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. So we've seen that all throughout the Bible. And you know, a lot of times we look at the results or the material things as things that may give us more security or strength, when in reality it's just the Lord. I believe that it's been like that with our country. It's the country honoring God and God doing all these great things in our country because of first honoring him. And when a country stops honoring him, we've seen that all throughout the Bible, all throughout world history. That concerns me and should be a place where we should be in great prayer about. He says in verse 17, along the same lines, a horse is a vain hope for safety or any sort of military device. He says, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. He says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who what? This is a great encouragement. So this is where our strength comes from, right? You want to go right to the source. This is where the source of all of our strength comes from. It's fearing the Lord. He says, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So who's our hope again? It goes right back to God himself. He's our hope. He's the hope of every man, every country, every nation. He is the hope of our world. Verse 20, our soul then waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. What a great message for us tonight, right? He's our help. He's our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him. Why? Because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. I love that. And then we're going to finish there. Hope. I've been talking about that on Sunday morning. And we finish this chapter with the encouragement now to walk in faith with the great hope of Jesus Christ. And as his children, as his people, we can call upon his name. He will hear us. He will answer us. He is our help. He is our shield. He's our refuge. He's our everything. Let's go to him in prayer right now. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, Lord. It's our hope. It's such an encouragement to see you in your word, to see that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now, Lord, I encourage our body once again. You say that love never fails. Let us love one another, Lord. We know we will always win if we love one another. And we love you. And we love others. Lord, give us your heart. Give us your mind. Let us be your instrument. Empower us with your Holy Spirit to do your will. To go out into all nations to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let the events of our time quicken our hearts in our relationship with you, Lord, to be fervent, to be watchful, to be ready, as a good soldier is not to entangle himself in the affairs of this world. Let us not do that, and let us be fully engrossed in our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. All right, let's stand and worship the Lord.